I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Author Salman Rushdie came by our studios today to talk about his new novel. It's called 2 Years, 8 Months, and 28 Nights. It's about these shape-shifting genies who conspire to lay siege to humanity. Yeah, it is kind of wild, even for Rushdie.
Here I am as a kind of rationalist, atheist person who writes books about genies and fairies, you know, which is, and I know that there's a contradiction there, except that this is the material I grew up with.
And while his fiction draws on the nursery tales of his childhood, Rushdie says it also echoes the real world.
I just wanted to make a portrait of a world gone wrong, you know, in some way. And I think many of us have the sense of living in a world like that, you know, a world full of what in the novel are called strangenesses, where things that don't seem to obey the normal rules of things keep happening, and you know, as if the world is playing by new rules and we don't know what they are. So I thought, how do I tell a story about that? And I went back to these ancient nursery tales, really, about that I remember hearing as a kid from my parents about, you know, about what in the West are called genies and what were originally called jinn. The jinn is the plural word. The singular jinni is where genie comes from.
So I know jinns from West African Islam, kind of these almost like ghosts. Explain what they are exactly.
Well, they're actually older than Islam, and they're actually pre-Islamic creatures who got co-opted into a kind of Muslim tradition. But one of the things that I like about the jinn is that they're not particularly religious. In fact, many of them have no interest in religion. They're sort of pagan creatures. They're very powerful. Many of them, according to the stories, are shapeshifters. They can change form. And of course, the way they've entered into Western folklore through Aladdin and so on, you know, has this tradition of jinns trapped in bottles and or lamps and released to grant wishes.
I hate to break it down into black or white. Are they good or are they evil?
They're both. They're good and evil and not interested in ideas of good and evil. They're sort of amoral. So in the novel, there's four what are called dark jinn who set out with a kind of world domination plan, which in fact they're not very good at. and the force against them is a female jinn called Dunya, who actually loves the human race and actually has been in love with individual human beings, and she comes to the defense.
So the precipitating event in 2 years, 8 months, if I can abbreviate title, is a horrible storm in New York that breaks the seals, as you say, separating our world from the spiritual world. What for you was the precipitating event for you to write this novel? Why'd you write it?
Of course, I mean, Hurricane Sandy was, I mean, I was in New York during that, and that has something to do with this. But what happened is that after I wrote the memoir, which is my book before this, Joseph Anton, I had a kind of reaction against having spent 3 or 4 years trying very scrupulously to tell the truth
about my own life.
You know.
Yeah.
I had a reaction against that. I wanted to really make up something wild.
So you grew up in India in a liberal Muslim home, can we say?
Yeah, I mean, well, my parents were really, I mean, yes, they were Indian Muslims technically, but they were very not religious. So I grew up in a very secularized Muslim home, let's say.
What was it like for you to write a novel in which your kind of rational mind weaves in this world of jinns and superstition and the irrational world?
Well, I mean, the novel is about the way in which the rational and the irrational collide, not just in the world, but actually within us, you know. So I think all of us have elements of reason and unreason, you know, in our characters. If you grow up in India, then these wonder tales are your first experience of story and literature, you know. So you think of that as normal. You know, and realism comes later.
Fair to say that you dreamed of Genie.
You know, I had this terrible moment. I had this terrible, thank you for that.
Sorry.
I had this terrible moment when I was writing the book, but I realized that at one of the main narrative lines is about this Genie princess who falls in love with a human being. And I thought, oh my God, I'm actually rewriting a well-known television series.
The kind of evil jinns who try and have this grand plan for the world and fail. Did you have any real-world contemporary models for that?
We live in a time of very dark conflicts. And so, yes, I was obviously trying to echo those, but not in some kind of simple allegorical way, you know, because I think that's kind of dumb.
But there are state actors and non-state actors who are trying to have this grand design over the world,
exactly.
Whether it's heads of state or extremists,
yeah.
And a lot of them are failing.
A lot of them are failing because in the end, it's a very difficult thing to do. The world is a very big place and kind of ornery, and it doesn't take kindly to being squashed, you know, in that way. So there will always be people who try and do this. emperors, tyrants, etc., have always tried to bring the world to heel. And sometimes they succeed for a bit, but then there's usually a rebound. You know, so this is, I mean, I'm a history student originally, you know, and so this is a, seems to be, yes, of course, there's a conflict now, and we all know what it is, and it's in the news every day. You know, but this kind of conflict is always there between power and liberty, between the rational and the irrational. You know, this is the history of the world.
So I'm giving your novel a close read, especially right now, because I just returned from 2 weeks in your native city of Mumbai. I don't know if you call it Mumbai or Bombay.
I still call it Bombay, but I understand that it has a name.
You were born there, and it's such a cultural mashup with Hindu, Muslim, Catholic. Do you remember Mumbai, Bombay, being a very tolerant city when you were growing up there?
Yeah, it was. I mean, famously, it was. I mean, the reason my parents, who, as you said, were from the Indian Muslim community, they didn't want to go to Pakistan at partition. Mm. Because they felt more Indian than Muslim, if you like. But they didn't want to stay. They originally were in Delhi, and Delhi was a city which was likely to be explosive in the partition period, and indeed was. And they thought they would move to Bombay because in Bombay there was this atmosphere of non-communal life. You know, and people in Bombay always used to take pride in that these troubles didn't happen there. The relationships between the communities were very cordial. We would have each other's holidays. And it just wasn't an issue.
Mm. Finally, Salman Rushdie, I have to ask you about the Iran nuclear deal. I mean, you've had your own episode of dealing with pronouncements from Iran, of course. What do you make of this deal?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm, needless to say, sort of conflicted because on the one hand, I have no fondness for that regime for obvious reasons. On the other hand, I think, you know, what's happened since 9/11, I mean, we've just had the 14th anniversary, is that we've essentially been at war. You know, first in Afghanistan and then in Iraq. And that has not made the world a safer place. I mean, if anything, it's made the world a much more dangerous place. So if I had a vote in Congress, which mercifully I don't, I would probably take a deep breath and vote for it.
So the fatwa by Ayatollah Khomeini for the Satanic Verses on you was never rescinded. Does a nuclear deal in some way deactivate the fatwa by default?
No, I mean, the fatwa has been deactivated for 16. I mean, I've lived in New York now for almost 16 years, and it just hasn't, all that time, it hasn't been a factor at all. You know, so the world moves on. I mean, that's the thing, that we live in an age in which the subject changes very fast.
Author Salman Rushdie's new novel is called 2 Years, 8 Months, and 28 Nights. Thank you very much for coming in. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
By the way, I also asked Rushdie what he thought about the massive flow of migrants and refugees into Europe. There's a video of his answer and more of our conversation at PRI.org. And that is our show today. Marco Werman here from the Nan and Bill Harris Studios at WGBH in Boston. Thanks for being with us.